south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Hey, I got some good news for you today. You longtime listeners remember about a couple years ago, one of my early Expat Insider Seminar attendees, Jack Brett, had an idea, a very good idea. How to find the easiest, cheapest, fastest, and most pleasurable way to learn your Spanish, whether you're a quick study or a Spanish dunce like me. So he spent a lot of time, more than a year, I believe, traveling all through Latin America, on a budget, but not exactly backpacker style either. And he went up and down, in and out, all through Latin America, on a mission. His goal again, to find the easiest, fastest, most economic way to learn Spanish. Because he knew, and I know some of you have found this out, there are just way too many options out there, and we've all got only so much time, money, and attention span to devote to such a project. So along the way, a few years ago, he wrote a little book called Fast Spanish. You might remember that. Well, since then, a lot of things have happened in the world of learning Spanish, including all kinds of internet-related links, apps, and products, including the latest development, live one-on-one face-to-face lessons and chats on Skype with real Spanish speakers. Now, all the years I've been in Latin America myself, and the 7 years I've been doing this show, I've never come out and actually endorsed any particular Spanish learning method, except for that one method that's extremely fast and has 100% success rate. That would be having a Latin boyfriend or girlfriend who doesn't speak a lick of English. Or as expat Eddie likes to point out, you'd be speaking Spanish like a native in no time if you happen to be sharing a cell with a gangbanger, which is not the kind of lottery you want to win. However, aside from that, there are so many hundreds of courses and methods out there to aid you in learning your Spanish. It would be impossible to review them all. Plus, some of them don't look all that great. So, how do you sort all that out? Though people ask my opinion on that all the time, and I hear expats and gringos talking about their success with this or that particular course, and other gringos and expats saying they had no success at all with the very same courses and material. Well, what are you supposed to make of that? Well, I'll tell you. A few years ago, when Jack first sent me his Fast Spanish book, I saw he had a really good handle on it. Then, just a few weeks ago, he sent me the galley of his second edition. He did such a nice job, I wrote the foreword to it. Now, here's the thing. I run into gringos and expats and wannabes all the time, down here in Latin America, of course. They've got stashes of CDs and workbooks and translation apps on their iPhones and a huge file, it seems, of everything else they can get for free on the web. And there's so much stuff out there. It's beyond confusing. Not only that, I meet a lot of gringos and expats who've been down here months, sometimes even years, and their Spanish still sucks. And they've got a big pile of CDs and notebooks and MP3 files gathering dust, too. You know, to me, it's like diets and diet books. A third of all bookstores are devoted to that stuff. Yet, you look around and you see there's a big-time disconnect. By the way, how many audio Spanish conversation lessons do you have crammed in your iPhone or Android? All I can say, and well, I didn't say it. Heard a lot of gringos and expats say it. It's beyond confusing. Which is why I get so many emails from people saying, Johnny, you're the Expat Files guy. You've been down in Latin America 25-plus years. What do you think is the best or right way to learn Spanish? Well, there's a loaded question, because like I said, you'd think when you drop someone in a totally Spanish-speaking environment, they can't help but pick it up fast. Well, some do, and some never do. And you know, it doesn't seem to have much to do with intelligence either. In fact, in my case, I was pretty much of a Spanish dunce myself. It took me 5 years down here before I started picking it up. With languages, I've always had a mental block. Oh, and by the way, way back when I first got down here to Latin America, we had cassette players and cassette Spanish stuff. No CDs yet. Hard to imagine, but no internet either. And I had a couple of shoe boxes filled with that stuff, and you know what? Didn't help much at all. Though I did get to the point where I could understand the guy speaking on the tapes, who happened to be a guy from Spain, not a guy from Central or South America, so he had a proper Spanish accent. From the mother country, Catalonia. And you know what? no one speaks that way here in Latin America. That'd be like a Spanish person learning English from a proper Englishman. By the way, that's why for dozens and dozens of years, Americans could never get used to movies and TV shows coming out of England with British actors and British accents. Yep, it took the British rock and roll invasion, Monty Python, and James Bond to widen our tunnel vision in that regard. So anyway, it depends more than a little bit on the person who's actually giving the Spanish lessons in those audio courses. So again, people ask me all the time, what do I think is the best or the right way to learn Spanish? And until now, I've never endorsed anybody's particular CD or internet course. However, you've heard me talk about how I learned my Spanish and what not to do. But I really do endorse Jack Brett's second edition Fast Spanish book. That means I'm still not endorsing a particular CD app or internet course. I'm endorsing a book that explains the quickest, easiest, and most economic way to go about the process. Besides, it's a hell of a fun read with lots of cool boots-on-the-ground stories, which makes it easy to whip through the 100-plus pages in a single sitting. I did. My only negative comment is that I wish that book was around 25 years ago. And Jack, being the nice guy that he is kindly offered to give the book out for free. Yep. For free, no strings attached, but only to you guys, my expat file listeners. So everyone else is going to have to go to Amazon or the other usual suspects, pay a few bucks and pick up the book. So how do you get it from me? Well, just plug this into your browser, theexpatfiles.com, all one word, /fastspanish, all one word. Again, go to theexpatfiles.com /fastspanish. That's it. By the way, because you're an Expat Files listener, you're getting it for free here before Amazon and those guys ever get it. In fact, Jack just sent me the latest edition yesterday. You'll be the first group to get it. So download it, read it, have fun, and save yourself a ton of money and grief. I'm talking about the needless money, time, and grief people often go through to get over that Spanish learning curve hump. In fact, just the other day I was talking to a gringo. He spent a couple of months traveling through Latin America. Along the way, he told me he took some Spanish lessons with some private tutors. A couple of weeks in Mexico, a few in Costa Rica, some lessons in Panama, and then in Colombia. The average amount he paid was around 10 to 12 bucks an hour. All right, so that may have worked out fine for him. And I've heard up in the States to get a private tutor, it's something like 20 to 25 bucks an hour. So, sounds like a good deal, right? But you'll find out after reading Jack's book, you can find good tutors all over the place for around 5 bucks an hour. It's just like everything else that happens to gringos down here in Latin America. When you come down all by yourself, you stumble along and fall into things, which may or may not work out for you, though generally you'll pay more. You'll be paying gringo prices most of the time. And even if in the moment it sounds like a good deal, you don't want to find out later that you paid twice as much as you had to. That's why it really pays to do a little bit of homework ahead of time, like for example, listening to this show, or getting Jack's book, or best of all, coming down to my Expat Insider Seminar. Then for sure we'll get you drinking from the fire hose. Yep, people say my seminars really are a boot camp for gringos. Man, I wish there had been a seminar like that available when I first got down here, but there wasn't even an internet. You know, I've been down here a long time and I've met hundreds and hundreds of expat gringos. It would take me hours and hours to tell you the stories of gringos who've been ripped off, gouged, scammed, or just made stupid decisions when they first got down. Yep, most of us come down wide-eyed and trusting, which makes you a prime target for the gouge. Especially when you're on the gringo tourist trail. And the gougers? Mostly gringos. But you knew that already, right? Especially if you're a long-time listener to this show. Hey, and as far as my track record, first couple of years I was down here, since I had pretty much zero Spanish under my belt, I was a prime target. I got gouged and nickeled and dimed by a couple of Latin lawyers. Then I lent some money to a few friends I thought were a bit down and out, two Latinos and a German expat. Then they all skipped on me. It wasn't a lot of dough, under a grand apiece. Not enough to lose sleep over or ruin my lifestyle. Then again, years ago up in Chicago, I lent two of my good friends $5,000 apiece. And that was when $5,000 was real money and both of them skipped on me. Then in my early days in Latin America, I got into a bad deal with a Belgian guy who basically lied about stuff. Then there was my Canadian partner in Costa Rica who skimmed from me. So, as expat Eddie always says, prepare to get scammed and gouged, at least a little. That's just part of the gringo, expat, gonna-be, and wannabe learning process. Oh, and if you lend money to Latino friends or your maintenance man, cleaning lady, or your help, consider it a gift. That's much better than getting pissed when they don't pay it back. You know, I always remember what my mother said to me. The quickest way to lose a friend is to lend money to him. Yep, all of us gringos have those stories, and they usually get told at cocktail parties and get-togethers and such. And most of us will laugh as we admit that when we first got down here, we were mostly trusting rubes ripe for the picking. So when it comes to business here and probably everywhere, never invest more than you can afford to lose. Now, for most gringos and expats, losing $1,000 or even $5,000 or $10,000 is not enough to destroy your lifestyle. Sure, it stings at first, but you do get over it. Plus, now you got a good story with a moral that you can tell other gringos and expats at parties. Though you'll find there'll always be another gringo there whose story will top yours. Hey, but one or two nicks like that and you get smart fast. Oh, and remember a couple of shows ago when I mentioned that you should never get into business with a Latin person or any person for that matter who doesn't have skin in the game? Well, as a corollary to that, almost all gringos I know who hit it big, except maybe a tiny handful, did it by themselves without a Latin partner. That doesn't mean they didn't have some help from the local Latins, including a Latin lawyer, but they just weren't partnered up with them. They paid them for their services or whatever they needed to get done, but they had no partnership deals going, which really is the only way to go unless, again, that Latin partner of yours has some skin in the game, some dough. Not very likely. In fact, it's extremely unlikely because Latin America is a place where all the locals have ideas, but none of them have any dough. And if there ever was a place where looks were deceiving, man, that's Latin America. Seems like everyone except the middle and lower middle classes are putting on the dog, trying to appear wealthier, more gringoized, and upscale than they really are. In fact, the other day I was in one of the biggest malls in Latin America. Man, they've got everything there. Walmart, Tommy Hilfiger, Diesel, TGIF, Starbucks, Sears, Ace Hardware, Dairy Queen, Forever 21, even Chuck E. Cheese for the entitled gringo wannabe kids of the rich. And 100 other of the usual suspects, just like the malls up in the States. Anyway, in this mall, they happen to have one of the most expensive gym and fitness centers in Latin America. In fact, it had the very first Gold's Gym south of Mexico. They even sponsored my syndicated radio show down here for a while. Anyway, the gym is spectacular and the membership's out of reach for 95% of all Latin Americans. The cost? Around $50 a month. Yep, even in the States, that's kind of high, huh? $50 a month. And remember, I'm talking about way off the gringo tourist trail, so I see no gringos when I'm there, even though it's a huge mall. And in the parking area next to that gym, wow, you'll see high-end cars and bodyguards loitering around, trying to look menacing, waiting on their charges. Mostly uppity gringo wannabe women in the gym who they're supposed to be protecting. From what, I don't know. It's just a show. However, those are the rules of the game for high-end Latin Americans on the town. For that crowd, you ain't nothing unless you have a bodyguard. Two's even better. So anyway, just the other day, I was getting my parking ticket validated in one of those little machines. And right next door, not 6 feet away, was a little kiosk, a new one. They were selling first world, upscale, fitness outfits, you know. You gotta have the right clothes if you're gonna hang out in an expensive gym, right? Anyway, as luck would have it, and this is Latin America, I put my ticket into the machine and it didn't come out. Got stuck in there somehow, you know. Typical Latin maintenance issues and all that. So a floor walker came over, got on his walkie-talkie and hailed someone that could come and open the machine. You know the drill. Or maybe you don't. So all that took 5 or 10 minutes. Meanwhile, I'm standing there right next to that little kiosk. And a 40-something, bleach blonde Latin lady walked up to that kiosk. She was already wearing fitness clothes, so I knew she was coming from the gym. Not surprisingly, she was flanked by two pot-bellied bodyguards that were shorter than she was. Now, when I see something like that, whether it's at a mall, Costco, Sears, whatever, sometimes I just roll my eyes, but what it really calls for is some obscene hand gestures. However, as you know, being a visitor in a foreign land is proper to show some restraint. But talk about a stereotype. In a nutshell, superficial, snobbish, classist idiots putting on their show for the sweaty masses, just because they had the dumb luck to have been born into an upscale family. Now, that's not to say there aren't a lot of nice people in that mix. But guess what? You know, we talk about the happiness factor here in Latin America and how it's off the charts sometimes. That happiness thing does not seem to extend to the upper middle and wealthy classes, because they're always on a mission, subliminal or not, to prove that they're wealthier, classier, have more stuff, and are more gringo-like than everyone else. Man, that's not happy. That's the definition of stress. And it seems like every encounter I have with people like that proves that point over and over again. Like, for example, when I was trying to get my parking ticket validated. What happened next was that bleach blonde Latin lady in the gym clothes with the two bodyguards. She selected one of those fitness corsets, you know, a rubberized thing with a line of hooks and clips on it. The object, of course, being to reshape your spare tire into an hourglass form, right? I'm sure you've seen the ads on TV. They're all over down here, so they have to be up by you. Yep, down here, Latinos are nuts about the stuff they sell on TV infomercials, like those corsets. You know, ab crunchers, miracle mops, and pocket circumcisers and all that. Yep, down here in all the big malls, they have As Seen on TV stores. That's the title above the store. Because, you know, unlike up in the States, you can't really order that stuff by mail because government snail mail service is pretty undependable here in Latin America. And couriers like FedEx and UPS, well, they're perfectly fine, though expensive. So anyway, the lady with the two bodyguards selected a fitness corset. She tried it on right there. No shame at all. People walking by and everything. And it actually did rearrange her spare tire, or llanta. And though she couldn't breathe much, it put a big smile on her face. The miracle of modern elastics, huh? All the while, I'm standing about 6 feet away, trying not to stare, but listening intently. Then she says to the lady behind the counter, "How much is it?" She says, $50. Lady says, "I'll take it." Then she pulled out her wallet and fanned out a handful of credit cards. None of them went through. Now, remember, this is a lady with two frickin' bodyguards. However, that didn't seem to faze her. She dug in her purse and pulled out a 20. And the lady behind the counter, sensing that was all the cash she had on her and not wanting to lose the sale, she said, "If you like, we can put you on a 6-month payment plan." And the supposedly wealthy lady with the bodyguard said, "Sure, fine." Filled out a form, pulled out her national ID, gave her the 20, got $10 back, and she was on her way. Happy as a clam with her brand new figure-altering device. But wait a minute, I just said people like that aren't very happy, right? Well, let's just say she had that momentary kind of upbeat joy you get when you first buy something new. You know what I mean, and it doesn't last long. But the point is, and there is a point here, there's a moral to this story. Here's a lady who's got a membership at the most expensive gym in the country. She's got two bodyguards, certainly a couple of SUVs in the parking lot. Yep, it's gotten to the point I can spot him a mile away. A bleach blonde gringa wannabe with her credit cards all maxed out and not even enough money in her wallet to buy something for $50. Yet more than willing to buy something useless on the payment plan. Why not? It's the American way, and now it's getting to be the Latin American way. So reflecting back on what I said earlier, let that be a lesson to you if you're thinking about becoming a business partner with a Latin person. Don't be fooled into thinking just because a Latin person looks like they're living high that they're actually solvent. Back in the States, Texans call it the all-hat and no-horse syndrome. Expat Eddie calls it the nice car and no-gas syndrome. Now I'd like to switch gears and talk about the very important topic of health insurance for gringos and expats here in Latin America. And remember, if you come down to my January 2018 Expat Insider Seminar, we'll be spending a whole day talking about healthcare, insurance, and visiting hospitals and doctors. And remember, if you sign up for the seminar before December 1st, you can still get in on the early bird discounts. That would be $500 discount for a single and $1,000 savings for a couple sharing double occupancy. And if you're a single person looking for a roommate so that you can share double occupancy and get that big double occupancy discount, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Just mention you're interested in sharing space with a roommate. Most times, we can work it out. And don't forget, if you just can't make it down to the seminar or get boots on the ground yourself, the very next best thing is to take my 9-hour Expat Essentials video course. You can see what it's all about and why people are raving about it by going to expatplanb.com. And no matter where you are in setting up your own plan B, even if you're just thinking about it and haven't got any solid steps in place yet, do download my free Expat Plan B consultation questionnaire form. A lot of good ideas there. You'll find it at the newexpat.com website. That's also where you'll find the information on those great John Galt pre- and post-seminar trips too. If you are coming down to the seminar and making your plans, do try to add a couple extra days to the front end or back end of your trip so you can take advantage of those famous John Galt tours. And remember, since we're doing the seminar in and around Guatemala, that gives you a chance to kill two birds with one stone. That means while you're at the seminar, at the same time, you can apply for your permanent or temporary residency in Guatemala. Of course, that leads to a passport in 5 years, so you don't want to miss taking advantage of that opportunity. For one thing, it'll save you another trip down if you plan on doing it in the future. And the longer you wait, the more hoops you'll have to jump through because residency requirements in all Latin countries are getting tougher and more complicated all the time. All right, now I'd like to read an excerpt of an email sent to me by Georgie. Hey there, Georgie girl. Thanks for that. Talks about a few healthcare points we haven't brought up in the past concerning insurance companies that offer worldwide coverage. And I'll paraphrase this as usual. The title is, Moving Overseas is the Only Way to Escape the Outrageous Cost of Healthcare in the U.S. Now, if you're living in a Latin country, you can buy extremely cheap healthcare insurance. And if you choose, you can extend that coverage to other Latin countries. You can also buy from First World International Insurance Companies worldwide healthcare coverage too. And some of these companies allow you to pick and choose the countries you wish to have coverage in. Now, in talking about international medical insurance policies, which I don't recommend, by the way, I always recommend you buy a basic Latin American insurance package that's local to the country you're living in. And even if you're living there part-time, maybe half of the year, it'd be foolish not to buy local coverage since it's so inexpensive. In fact, as I'll explain shortly, ridiculously inexpensive. However, a lot of people who are living outside the United States, even full-time, will buy a policy with international coverage, thinking anything can happen, so it's better to be safe than sorry. However, you can buy international health insurance coverage, like, for example, through Cigna, and elect not to have coverage in the U.S. That'll make the policy a lot cheaper. As you might imagine, as soon as a U.S. or first world country is added to the policy, the premiums skyrocket. And now Georgie presents a case that could happen to any expat. Listen to this. If, for example, an expat decides to move back to the United States this year, could be from any foreign country, he would now find himself in the middle of the Obama fiasco, even though there's no Obama anymore. As an expat, he was exempt from Obamacare. Now that he's back in the States, he's subject to the requirements of Obamacare, just like every other U.S. resident. Suppose he's self-employed and doesn't have health care coverage, so he must seek coverage through his state's insurance program. And all he really wants is major medical with a high deductible. The insurance company that's the only option for his particular state won't sell that to him. The only health insurance plan available to him is what he calls a prepaid medical care plan. This includes regular doctor visits, checkups, and all that stuff. But it comes with a low deductible and a very high price. In fact, the cheapest option available for him totals more than $17,000 a year for he and his family of four. He's stuck. That means he's railroaded into a healthcare insurance policy he does not want or may not really need. But it's the law, so he's stuck. Now, the average cost around the U.S. for a man in this situation with a family is around $14,500 a year, though some premiums are higher, as in this case. So you can shop around, but the options are limited and becoming more limited as time goes on. Then it says in some U.S. states, they do allow for higher and higher deductibles, which lowers your premium dramatically. But with such high deductibles, it could still wipe you out. In fact, in some states, there are policies for a family of four that'll cost you around $2,000 a year. However, there's a $5,000 annual deductible. Meanwhile, in Latin America, you can buy a family plan that's very cheap, but escalates slightly every 5 years, depending on the age of the oldest adult. And a typical policy with a $500 deductible or less, sometimes no deductible at all, might range anywhere from less than $100 to maybe $250 a month. By the way, at my Expat Insider Seminar, we discuss a number of Latin healthcare policies in great detail. One in particular that I like a lot, all you have to do is get a bank account and you can sign up for the insurance plan. And it's also prorated by age. Let's say you're 50 years old. Well, that plan would cost you around $80 a month with, get this, no deductible. Unless you enter one of their hospitals through the emergency room. That'd be an unscheduled visit and you'd pay a deductible of, get this, $50. no matter how many days you end up staying after you've been admitted. You heard me, $50. However, if you came into the hospital for a procedure as a regularly scheduled patient, there's no deductible. Now, the downside to some of these plans is there can be some exclusions. Like for this plan, there used to be an exclusion for cancer, not good, right? And an exclusion for heart surgery, not good either. But just this year on that same policy, they added a rider that covers cancer. However, that'll cost you an extra $25 a month. Wow, now we're talking about a premium of maybe $100 to $110 a month. Again, depending on your age bracket. But wait a minute, you heard me say that plan does not cover heart surgery, right? Well, as it turns out, you really have to know the fine print in some of these policies, and they're all in Spanish, of course. And in this particular policy, if you enter the hospital through the emergency room, your coronary problems are covered. Now, like I said at my Expat Insider Seminar, we cover all this and much, much more. In fact, after talking about the details, then checking out the hospital and the doctors, when the day is done, every attendee is amazed or in disbelief. Yep, it's one of those cases where you just have to get boots on the ground and see it for yourself. Now, you could come down on your own and hunt this stuff out. To which I say, good luck, happy hunting. Which brings me to an email I just got a few days ago from Eric, who attended my last Expat Insider Seminar. He said, Johnny, get a load of these health insurance rates, and he gives me a table here, for his healthy family of five. Then he says, if this doesn't put a fire under our butts, I don't know what will. By the way, we have our house up for sale now. I wish we were coming to the seminar in January as repeat offenders. I'd just love to have my brain overloaded again. Then he says, get a load of these U.S. healthcare plans that I've outlined below, starting with a company called Medica. Their bronze plan is $1,527 a month. That's 18 grand a year. Man, a lot of gringos live a really nice life down here for that kind of money. Oh yeah, and that plan has a copay deductible of $13,700. Wow, that's their bronze plan. Kind of makes you wonder how much their silver and gold plans are. How about the platinum plan? I'd probably get a heart attack if I saw those premiums. Oh well, if I had a coronary, at least I'd be covered, right? So bottom line, for what most people pay a month in the United States for their insurance, that's about what people pay down here in Latin America for a whole year. By the way, I'm not done. There's a lot more on that topic coming up on the next show.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.